Good evening, everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of Calf Crusher Radio. I am Hammy, and joining me in studio is, as always, Mr. Mike Falcone.
Yes. Yes.
To the thought of Bray Wyatt going out of WrestleMania's champion, yeah, but I'm not totally encouraged here.
I'm more encouraged. Why would they have Orton win that?
The number to call, 908-854-4228. That's 908-854-4228. We are live on Facebook, our Facebook page, facebook.com/CalfCrusherPod. You can follow us at CalfCrusherPod on Twitter. And I'm entering with Bray Wyatt's theme tonight, Punch, because...
because interwebs, we're here.
As we were prepping, as we were preparing for the show tonight, the ladies of Good Girls Bad Thoughts are not on camera, but they're sitting in studio playing on their phones, which is probably more exciting than this. The ladies of Good Girls Bad Thoughts were watching WrestleMania 30 with us as we were prepping for the show. We turn on the WWE Network, and sure enough, WrestleMania 30 is on the network.
Yep.
And we were watching it, and even though WrestleMania 30 was just a little over 3 years ago now, the preparation and execution of Wyatt versus Cena at that pay-per-view went from excitement to utter disappointment to anger. And I got angry all over again because you could see the audience going, chanting, he's got the whole world in his hands.
But LOL,
Cena wins. And I forgot just how bad Cena won in LOL Cena wins fashion.
You mean he's overcoming the odds?
Ugh. Yes, he overcame the odds and defeated the one and only Bray Wyatt at WrestleMania 30. And
thus starting the streak of Bray Wyatt not being able to catch a break when it came to booking.
No, he could not catch a break. And then finally he wins the big title. And it just seems like 3 years too late now. I know WWE is trying to do the right thing now by Bray, but they had all the opportunity to pull the trigger back then.
Two-Face.
LOL, Cena wins.
Randy. Orton.
Very nice Randy Orton impression.
At WrestleMania. Pose.
So, okay, let's get into the first big story of the day. And
by the way, can we, just off topic one day, can we do a fill in the gaps with pregnant pauses from Randy Orton on a promo?
Sure. If we are just thinking of something to say next, I'll just pause and there'll be dead air. And then we could just say, we're just doing a Randy Orton impression.
Yeah. Well, during a Randy Orton promo, you don't have to hit pause.
No, that's absolutely true. But... what else is true? Let's get into the first topic, which you would think is WrestleMania, but no, it is the always excellent in execution, Ring of Honor, and a sure-bound WWE Hall of Famer, Bully Ray, is now one of the head honchos of the Ring of Honor locker room, Mike. He is. He announced on Busted Open Radio that he is now a part of the Ring of Honor roster. Not only a part of the Ring of Honor roster, but he's also a member of Busted Open. So congratulations to my pals, Doug Motrin and Dave LaGreca there, for a excellent addition to the team.
Doug, Dave, and Bubba.
Yes, sir. Bully Ray is in Ring of Honor, and he has said that he wants to be there. And the reason why he said he wants to be there is, you would think that, why wouldn't you re-sign with WWE? But I think both of us can agree, Mike, the reason why he wouldn't re-sign with WWE is because...
he wants to be a booker one day.
Yeah, exactly. He not only does he want to beat a booker, but in WWE, he wouldn't be treated as the legend that he is. He would just continue to do the Dudley Boy thing, as much as we would like it, and he would put over new tag teams, but that's as much as he would do. They wouldn't go beyond a certain threshold in WWE.
I mean, listen... Bubba, I believe, is respected. I mean, D-Von even works backstage for WWE now. But I think Bubba wants to run his own company. And, I mean, he's done it before. I mean, I know he co-ran House of Hardcore with Dreamer for a bit. And then he technically, behind the scenes, was helping run ECW with Paul Heyman. Like, he was doing the business end of that. Like, he was the one that they would talk to for booking the show, like, the talking to the venues. And Paul Heyman had none of that. Paul Heyman was the creative genius. Bubba Ray made the call. So he's kind of got the experience there anyway. It's not some guy just getting a high-profile position because of his name. Like, he's put in the work on that end of it as well as the in-ring end.
That is true. There's also another company that he could have re-signed with, which we'll get into in a second, because that is currently in one of in many other downward spirals, Mike, and that is TNA.
Hashtag fuck that owl.
Absolutely. Here's a quote from Bubba on why he didn't re-sign with TNA. At the last minute,
Because of the Washington Redskins of wrestling?
Fair. No, I would call them the Cleveland Browns at this point because they have nobody.
No, because at least Cleveland Brown has an upward trend going.
And they have fans. At the last minute...
And they don't have Daniel Snyder.
Very true. But they have Dixie Carter.
Not anymore.
Right?
No, unlike Washington, they fired the problem and hired more problems.
So here we go. Here's Bully Ray himself. Quote, at the last minute, TNA came in hard and heavy and made me a significant offer. But the way I look at it is this. If I can't go back someplace and top what I did before, then it's kind of pointless. Fair enough.
He's being very, very nice there.
I think he's being very nice there, too. Wait,
he's being nicer than TNA deserves. Let's be honest. If that were really his mindset, he would not have had that latest run in WWE.
I'm not blowing smoke up my own ass here, continuing on, quote from Bully Ray. Bully Ray was the top heel in TNA, which he was. He was one of the best heels in that company. I generated ratings. Me and Jeff Hardy drew TNA's biggest house of all time at Lockdown, and I had my run with Hulk and with Sting. If you take a look at the landscape of TNA and their locker room, I don't have anybody at the top what I did before, which is a very nice way of saying TNA's got no one.
Yeah.
TNA has no one. They don't have the Hardys. They don't have Bully Ray. They don't have any of the old-time legends that they had. They don't have AJ Styles.
Well, look at how they're treating the Hardys now. And I'm sure Bubba keeps tabs and stuff like that. Would he really want to go back?
We know Bully Ray talks to everybody that he's ever worked with in the wrestling business. He's one of those old-school type guys where... you work with him and you befriend him and you guys show mutual respect, especially if he likes working with you. You're going to be friends for life. On the small few times that I've actually met the guy, he is a very stand-up guy, and he seems like the type of person that would be a friend for life. So for that, I got to imagine that Bully Ray is in constant communication with everybody, which I give him a lot of respect because he's really, really good at hiding surprises, because his appearance in Ring of Honor... it was a total shock to me. I did not see this coming.
There was a lot of shocks this week in Ring of Honor. I mean, there was him, there was the Hardys, and then there was Christopher Daniels winning the title.
What a week it's been for Ring of Honor, and what a year so far. Now, many of it wondered, okay, if the Dudley Boys are breaking up, or their run is ending, and then they're coming to an end as a tag team, which is what we saw.
Yep.
Why... many have asked why he wouldn't debut the Bully Ray character in WWE. I am sure we could have loved seeing Bully Ray work with some of the Raw roster. I mean, take away all of his accomplishments as a tag team wrestler. He was a pretty damn good singles wrestler in TNA. He had some great programs for that company. And he gets a lot less credit than he deserves, in my opinion, for the work he's done with
TNA.
He
was a very underrated member of the main event scene there. Hugely. I mean, they wanted him to get...
I mean, imagine
shape.
Him working with Owens. If Owens was a face, imagine working with Jericho as Bully Ray. He could have had a fantastic run as a WWE heel, I think.
But for whatever reason, they decided against it. And we're just like, no, we'll just keep the Dudleys in the tag team.
But here's, in his own words, here's why Bully Ray never came to WWE. Quote, we came one day away in August from debuting Bully Ray in WWE. This is after SummerSlam. After Gallows and Anderson put the Dudleys through a table. At the last second, the decision was made to not go forward with it. Bully Ray was ready to go, but that's all I could tell you. We were one day away, and they had to pull the plug on it.
He ended up slimming himself down a lot more than he used to be so that they could give him that main event push in TNA. Like, he put the work in and earned that shot, like earned that run. And once they gave him that main event run and gave him that singles character to get there, it wound up working. Until the Aces and Eights storyline got oversaturated, but that's a story for another day.
Like the NWO, that line got oversaturated as well.
Yeah, I mean, and it gets oversaturated quicker when you realize the basis of Aces and Eights is, hey, you know what happened if you combine Sons of Anarchy and the NWO? Aces and Eights.
Yeah, basically. That was a very good biker gang tribute. It looks like, you know what? Aces and Eights looked like every band that was playing your local bar at night that are trying to be Motorhead, but they're not Motorhead.
And they're trying to make it sound like it's like an NWO type thing, but whoever the one commentator is can't do the job, and Taz is too busy looking up the Jets score. True story, for those who don't know. Look it up. Just so many things about that. And, like, you didn't the NWO wait a while before getting worthless wrestlers into their fold?
Aces and Eights ran into the same problem the NWO ran into.
They got
overexposed. They got oversaturated. They recruited a bunch of guys to just... Yeah.
Like, one of the members...
To just be there.
Yeah, one of the members is Eric Bischoff's son.
Oh, my God. Remember that?
And Wes Briscoe was the other one.
Okay, so here is the original plan for Bully Ray to debut in WWE. And this would have been the perfect send-off for the Dudley Boys, as well as the debut of Bully Ray. The original plan was for Bully Ray to turn on Devon Dudley the night after SummerSlam, but they never pulled the trigger.
Why is Devon always the one that gets turned on in this scenario?
Maybe I think Devon, it was... He had one of those, like, one last runs left in him, and then he would have just sailed off into the sunset and just, like, worked backstage and ran to school. I think that's what they were trying to do. You still could have had a great run with Bully Ray in WWE, I think. That would have that was a missed opportunity.
But Vince didn't create it or own the property of the place that created it, so...
And also, Bully Ray on Busted Open as a new co-host of the show... He went on a several-minute-long praise of the Ring of Honor roster, and he has said that he cannot wait to make great storylines with them, and he's going to be... He admitted that he's going to be sort of part-time because he just... There's no point of him wrestling week in and week out anymore, and also, he's getting up there in age, Mike. There's no way he can go as much as he used to. So he's going to use the gift, not of Jericho, but he's going use his... gift of being a monster heel. He is going to be one of the best heels in Ring of Honor. If he can't do something in the ring, and there's a lot of things he can do in the ring, whatever he can't do, he can make up with his voice on the microphone. Because you go back to see what makes a great heel in modern day pro wrestling. Look no further than the Dudley Boys in ECW. Those guys were the pinnacle of modern heels.
He nearly incited riots at some points at some of the shows. Like, there were people ready to jump the guardrails to go at Bubba Ray Dudley for things he said.
He pointed
about them.
To a mom and daughter and said, "We got a whore mom who teaches her daughter how to suck dick." If that doesn't get you nuclear heat these days, nothing will. But WWE is a PG product. Ring of Honor is a pure pro wrestling show.
Although, I'll be honest...
And it reminds me a lot, Ring of Honor, if ECW on TNN was actually made to appeal to both the hardcore fan and the corporate interest, you get Ring of Honor wrestling, in my opinion.
I know. I honestly think Ring of Honor is ECW with a better business direction and not... getting too big for their britches.
I could not agree more.
Like, they don't have the production budget or the production value of ECW on TNN. Like, they were essentially forced to get better quality equipment, which is part of the reason why Heyman bled as much money as he did in ECW at the end.
But also, they had the best pure wrestlers. That's what they have that no one else has. They have the best pure wrestlers.
And look at what it's done for Ring of Honor. All the people that have been signed and are now in WWE's main event scene that came up through Ring of Honor.
Almost every single one of them has come through Ring of Honor at some point.
Like and it's to the point where they're mentioning Ring of Honor specifically on articles, like on their actual website, because so many guys in their roster have come through the
ranks.
And
even the
most
casual of casual pro wrestling fans will... notice their work in Ring of Honor. They can just Google, hey, who is Samoa Joe? And his entire library of what he's done in Ring of Honor and other promotions out there will come up. JBL mentions IWGP for AJ Styles all the time. They bring up his tour in Japan.
Yep.
If you Google what else AJ Styles has done, TNA is going to come up. But for some reason, WWE does not acknowledge it.
No.
I want to leave that to the listeners out there. Why does WWE acknowledge Ring of Honor and New Japan Pro Wrestling, but they don't acknowledge TNA?
Because TNA is the bigger competition at this point, because they're
not competition.
But no,
though.
I know that. But Ring of Honor technically is competition as well, but they're not trying to overtake WWE. They're just trying to be an alternative to WWE, which they're okay with, kind of in the way that he was okay with ECW.
And to Vince McMahon's credit, look, we criticize their booking decisions day in and day out on this program. Believe us, like, we know when WWE kind of fucks up here. But there are some times where Vince McMahon does show signs of brilliance and willingness to make... It's not about WWE, it's about the business. It's about the entertainment of professional wrestling. And he, on several occasions, will work with other promotions for the sake of bettering the business. So I think that's one of the reasons why he acknowledges Ring of Honor, because, like you just said, yeah, Mike, they don't say they're trying to take over WWE, because they're smart. There's no way anyone in this day and age can take over WWE. WWE is Braun Strowman, and everyone else is James Ellsworth.
But if you got two hands.
If you got two hands, mm-hmm. You can make a promotion. Ugh, pimple on my ass. But speaking of Ring of Honor.
No, he's the herpes on your ass, because at least once every while a pimple goes away.
He's a genital wart is what he is. And you need constructive surgery to remove him. That's what James Ellsworth is. But speaking of Ring of Honor and Bully Ray, we cannot go on the air tonight. We cannot do a live show. We cannot do this podcast, Mike, without talking about Matt and Jeff Hardy. We just simply can't. The Hardy Boys are your Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions, and there was a big rumor going around that the Hardys were going to go back to WWE, but they're not. They are the Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions. They just had a successful defense, but TNA is wasting no time trying to sue them and throw out a cease and desist to other networks airing the Hardys matches.
Guys who didn't
TNA's trying to fuck with Ring of Honor right now.
It's not going to look good. It's going to piss off a lot of distributors. It's going to piss off a lot of people in the business. Like, they're kind of screwing themselves. And I kind of agree with a lot of Rebby Hardy's rants about TNA. They've actually been historically shitty to people who've helped them grow over the years. Even if that growth is at a snail's pace at this point, because TNA just can't help but shoot themselves in the foot.
So, as you guys may know, Rebby Hardy has gone on blast on Twitter. She has done one of the most epic Twitter rants I have ever seen. She has called out TNA for mismanaging their talent, not paying their talent on time, basically being a shit company. Well, she's done it again.
Oh, boy.
She's done it again. And let me bring it up on the Chrome here so everyone can see it. Matt Hardy's responded to Rebby's rants, saying, quote, "I love my wife, Queen Rebecca. If you're loyal and faithful to her, she'll die for you. If you cross and betray her, she will massacre you." And boy, verbally, she is massacring TNA, because once again, Rebby has gone off on TNA. Update. This is direct quotes from her Twitter account. TNA sending, quote, "spooky letters to cable providers threatening to sue if they air Hardys, trying to screw Ring of Honor and ruin wrestling for fans." And she has sent multiple tweets also responding to that, and just completely going pipe bomb level aggressive against TNA. The question I have for you, Mike, is...
All right.
First off, is this whole thing... Can't be kayfabe, can it? This whole thing can't be a gag.
No, it's not. It's there's too many low blows being thrown out there by Rebby for it to be kayfabe.
And what do you think about the promo she's cutting on Twitter itself? I mean,
it might be the early contender for promo of the year. Let's be honest.
And it's not even on microphone. It's on Twitter.
And it's still early contender for promo of the year. What she did...
She pinned at the top of her Twitter page and fuck that owl. She's pinned it to the top of her Twitter profile.
And now I think someone made a logo and watch and fuck that owl is going to be a t-shirt.
Oh, it absolutely will
probably
be.
On the Rebby Sky Pro, like, or the Matt Hardy Pro Wrestling Tees shop.
Who'd have think? Who would have thought that today, in 2017, once again the Hardys are the most talked about thing in the world of pro wrestling? Not only are they going to be great in Ring of Honor, which unfortunately their deal expires right around WrestleMania time.
And they're not.
So this might be a short reign for them, but still, they are the Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions. They are bringing light to Ring of Honor. And they are putting blast on TNA, and they're making people watch Ring of Honor wrestling.
And I believe they're not booking anything in the indies after a specific date.
So the rumors that they're returning to WWE might actually happen.
One can only hope, especially if it's as the broken character. I really... Honestly, if it's Team Extreme, I'm not going to be as into it.
Oh God, no! I don't want the return of the Hardy Boys from the Attitude Era. I want broken Matt Hardy and Brother Neil.
I'd sooner see the Hardy Boys from the South Park equivalent of the Hardy Boys.
Oh God, I don't want that.
And have them use their finisher, the Raging Clue, against James Ellsworth and Goldberg.
Okay,
for the SmackDown and Raw tag team titles, then see Team Extreme.
I
want Broken Matt and Broken Brother Nero.
I'm going to read Matt Hardy's promo after they won the Ring of Honor Tag Team Championships. Quote, "And now the greatest tag team in all of space and time are the Ring of Honor, the Honorable Reign, the Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions of the world. Nero, you know, a lot of people thought whenever we left that dreadful TNA... Many, many people speculated that we were going to sign a contract with the Meek Man.
Meek Man.
Now, myself and Nefarious Nero, we exist on the plane known as the Honorable Ring, and the Bucks of Youth used to have the biggest contract in Ring of Honor history until the Hardys signed a contract. And this is only the beginning. We will be on the 15th anniversary show on pay-per-view Friday, which was this past Friday where they retained. We will be at the television tapings on Saturday. We will be in Lakeland on April 1st. And now the Hardy's house, their talents, and their vessels where the greatest wrestling in the world resides, Ring of Honor." To which a standing ovation happened. Ring of Honor has made some big splashes in the world of pro wrestling this week, Mike. They have Bully Ray making waves unannounced.
Yep.
Unpromoted, and now the Hardys. And now Ring of Honor is the most talked about thing in the world of pro wrestling in WrestleMania season. I mean, we've been on now for a good 15, 20 minutes now, Mike.
Yep.
And we haven't even mentioned WrestleMania yet. We've only talked about Ring of Honor. And this is enticing me to watch Ring of Honor instead of WWE programming now. Aside from SmackDown Live and NXT, I'd rather watch Ring of Honor than Monday Night Raw.
Ring of Honor is essentially a preview for talent that's going to be misused in WWE TV.
That is exactly what it is. Hey, you put on great matches. You have a great promo.
Hey.
Let's put a mask on you, change your name to Candy Butts McGillicuddy, and now you're going to job to Braun Strowman. Hey, there you go. Welcome to WWE.
But what will happen is Candy Butts McGillicuddy will get over, and then it'll be the Candy Butts movement.
Yes.
And then
lose to Triple H at WrestleMania.
No, and beat Triple H at WrestleMania. Because it's Candy Butts McGillicuddy.
So I have a couple more Rebby Hardy's savage tweets right here.
Yes.
Update. I read that one already. Hardy's just existing and providing for our family, mind you. I think they believe they are own birth certificates at this point.
I think she meant they own our birth
certificates. They own our birth certificates at this point. TNA trying to ruin wrestling for all fans out of spite, but contracts are up. You let them expire. Remember, you don't own these boys. Irony is, Matt's contract did not include exclusivity. Could have legally appeared on any televised program while under TNA contract, because EC3 had that same kind of deal.
Yep.
Don't ever want to hear anyone talk about burning bridges when this move, which fucks Ring of Honor and cable providers, leaves the most ashes behind. Wow. And she pinned under Paige. And, oh, and fuck that owl. What you want to treat, guys? Go to at Rebby Hardy and just read the past 3-4 days of tweets.
And then hashtag and fuck that owl.
And fuck that owl. So
that really, she really needs to capitalize and make that a t-shirt.
She absolutely does. So let's switch over to WrestleMania because, I mean, WrestleMania is only, what, 2-3 weeks away now?
Yeah, something like that.
A couple weeks away. We are heavy.
Time is flying.
Heavily on the road to WrestleMania. And we're not going to recap Monday Night Raw. We're not going to recap SmackDown. But let's instead talk about the best things going on Raw and SmackDown so far on the road to WrestleMania. Let's start with Monday Night Raw. And Mike, I'm not a mind reader, but if the best thing in your mind going on Raw leading to WrestleMania isn't Owens and Jericho, I really question your sanity.
No, Owens and Jericho have been the best thing about Raw leading into every single pay-per-view in the last like half a year.
Aside from Braun Strowman, which is slowly becoming one of my favorite performers on Raw, Owens and Jericho have been running the show.
They've been consistently the best segments on Raw every week.
Whether they were goofy heels, savage heels, or borderline faces, Owens and Jericho have been running the show.
Yep, and it's been great to see, and their feud is going to continue to run the show. Like, I'm genuinely excited. It's the one match where I'm genuinely excited for the match.
Yeah, this is the first WrestleMania match. I want to say, in the past 2 years, that I'm genuinely like, okay, there's not a doubt in my mind that this is going to steal the show at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
There's no doubt in my mind.
Clearly stealing the show.
I mean, Shane McMahon, The Undertaker last year was like, okay, we know Shane's going to jump off of something. We all know there's going to be an insane spot, but is a match really going to be good? Not really.
No, yeah, and it wasn't.
Roman Reigns and Triple H, I mean, the match might be decent, but we know who's winning that. The best match about last year's WrestleMania was a women's triple threat match.
Yeah.
And even then, triple threat matches at WrestleMania, that's not even near the top of the best, in my opinion. So really, when's the last WrestleMania match, aside from Owens and Jericho, where you were really legit excited for?
Ooh, I mean, Punk Undertaker at 29. Daniel Bryan's WrestleMania 30. The only two I can think of in the recent memory.
I would say WrestleMania 31. I was excited for Sting, even though I knew it deep down that Sting was losing. I would say Sting, just making his way to the ring at WrestleMania. Just say, oh my God, Sting wrestled at a WrestleMania. I think just for the moment and the history and the marking out, I would say Sting. But the last match that I really, truly looked forward to was probably Daniel Bryan versus Triple H at WrestleMania 30, which we watched
that
as we were writing up the rundown
show, yeah,
for the show. And
it was a really...
The ladies who are still typing away on their phones and ignoring us because we suck, they watched the match, and even they got excited watching it.
This is a great match. Like, Daniel Bryan can actually produce that kind of a match with pretty much anybody.
And he was hurt, too.
Yep. I mean, listen, maybe...
Shoulder issue and all. Daniel Bryan still put on the match of the night at WrestleMania 30 against Triple H. And then the payoff for all of us as fans leading up to that. I mean, that's one of the best long-term story arcs WWE has ever produced.
And the
payoff was just... It was so worth it.
Like, the reaction to the crowd from the crowd as he won the title at the end of the show, probably one of my favorite crowd reactions to see now. Like, it's topped quite a few. It's topped Austin winning the title. It's topped Triple H's return. It's topped a lot of things. Like, that crowd was just unglued for him winning the title finally. And not just winning it because he'd won it for like 5 minutes before that. Like, actually winning the title and getting a run with it. Which, granted, he ultimately would have been fed to Brock Lesnar had he not been hurt, but still.
I want to talk about one more thing going on Monday Night Raw that I'm really excited for, just because of the possibility that can happen with this. And that's how Monday Night Raw went off the air. So we had Braun Strowman come out, about to encounter Roman Reigns again. And we had an Undertaker appearance. We complained about Fastlane, of how there was no Taker involvement in Braun versus Reigns.
And then he came in sporting probably the worst orange tan since POTUS 45.
Mm, exactly. So this Summon in a Raw went off the air. We had The Undertaker come out after Braun Strowman, and you see Taker and Strowman right here staring, and
Strowman's like, nope.
After losing to Reigns clean, he's now walking out of the ring from The Undertaker.
He's like, nope, nope, getting out of here.
I mean,
nope.
To me, I think that kind of damages Braun a little bit, because for months we've had Braun Strowman built up as this monster.
Who will take on anyone.
Who wants real competition. You're standing in the ring with The Undertaker. I mean, there's not really that much more competition you can get than that.
But
Strowman walks out.
They had him
after I wouldn't mind this after he already lost to Roman Reigns the night before. So, and of course, one of our favorite things on this show, because it was Chicago, and because they will cheer for anything not named Roman Reigns, Taker got a massive pop. He got several massive pops.
He got the massive pop of being Taker, but then...
So, here is the crowd's reaction as Undertaker was being cheered, and then Roman Reigns comes out the ring. Oh, the hate was strong for Roman.
Oh my God.
And this was on WWE's YouTube page. So
picture that, but louder.
Even edited, WWE's YouTube it perfectly exemplifies how loud the boos were for Roman Reigns. I gotta hear this one more time because it's one of my favorite things in the world. Roman Reigns being booed. Oh, Chicago was not loving this. Chicago, you know what?
You're the real MVP, Chicago.
Look, Chicago fans, normally I shit on you, and normally I shit on the fans who chant CM Punk at shows, but for this, for Goldberg, I'll let it slide this one time, because like you said on the Fastlane recap show, Mike, Goldberg winning that Universal title only to lose it predictably at WrestleMania reminds us a lot about CM Punk losing to The Rock and then The Rock losing to Cena.
Yep.
We all saw this coming, and we just hate it because we know what's going to happen. And we know that one of the reasons why Goldberg is Universal Champion is because he demanded it. He demanded it, and Vince stupidly thinking, oh, this is going to put butts in the seats.
You know what really pisses me off, though, about that situation? Was Owens got beat in a short match because there were concerns about Goldberg's ability to wrestle and his ring cardio.
And him and Lesnar are going to main event WrestleMania.
Uh-huh.
The main event of WrestleMania is going to not even be 5 minutes. Or if it goes beyond that, it's going to be a boar fest.
All right, guys, we're going to the 5-minute Iron Man match between Brock Lesnar and Goldberg.
Ugh, 5 minutes. That might be 3.5 minutes too much.
That might be a Dada 5000 situation.
Ugh. Yeah. That might be... You know what? It might last just as long as CM Punk and Mickey Gall. It might last as long as that.
That's too long for those two.
Right. Fair enough. So, I want to highlight something here. Because WWE, I want to accept royalty checks from this, because on our Fastlane recap show, which we taped immediately after the conclusion of Fastlane this past Sunday, I said the one way for Roman Reigns to go over on this, to be a heel, to the spark of his heel turn, is to take on The Undertaker and say, this is my yard now. And
Braun wasn't calling you out here, dead man. He called me. So with all due respect, this is my yard now.
Thank you. I accept PayPal. I accept Android Pay. I accept Apple Pay. Vince, I want $300 royalties. I want to pay my electric bill. So Vince, pay up, please. So Taker and Reigns do the obligatory look at WrestleMania sign, and Taker gets the second biggest pop of the night.
Choke slam!
I mean, it's really hard for me to say that Taker is clearly favored by the fans. But Taker's clearly favored by the fans.
It's not even close.
And I mean, if we were to make a list of cities that are so hostile, you wouldn't have the balls to try to push Roman Reigns on. Chicago's at the top of that list.
And and this matchup still only makes sense if they're turning Reigns heel.
Oh, let's get into that in a second. But aside from Philadelphia,
Chicago fans are savages.
Aside from Philadelphia, Chicago is the one place you don't have Roman Reigns featured in, unless you want him to be drowning in a sea of booze.
You mean Bussos?
Yeah, they're on SmackDown Live. The Bussos are on SmackDown Live. But we're going to this match, and look, the only outcome of this that makes sense for us is Roman Reigns turns heel. He has to turn heel. This is the only way that they can do this. This is the one chance they have to turn Roman Reigns heel. And we've said in the past, Mike, turn Reigns heel the same way you turn The Rock heel. The Rock came in as a happy baby face, and he was hated by fans. What happened? He turned heel, he attacked the crowd, and his personality came out.
I'm skeptical about a Roman heel turn, though, because I think Vince might be delusional enough where he thinks that Reigns could be booked to beat The Undertaker, and then Vince will think that he'll be considered a face.
Oh, if Vince McMahon thinks that Roman Reigns beating The Undertaker and being cheered for it, if he thinks that that's going to make Roman Reigns loved by the fans, he has seriously lost his mind. He has lost whatever is left of his mind if he thinks that that is going to make fans cheer for Roman Reigns.
He made Hornswoggle his own on-camera son.
Don't remind me of that. And he also pretended to blow himself up in a limo. Yeah. So
he's clearly batshit crazy.
He is crazy, but I don't think he sees... I'm hoping that he doesn't see how much fans don't want this to happen. Because if this happens the way I think it's going to happen, which is Roman beats Taker clean, and Taker goes down on his back, shakes Roman's hand, and gives a nod to him saying he's the dog now, and walks off, and that's the last time we see The Undertaker.
Hammy will throw popcorn at this TV.
I will angrily watch Monday Night Raw next
week. Hammy's going to make his own popcorn thing, not to eat, but to throw at the TV if that happens.
I'm going
to
smash it and get a new Samsung TV, and then the government can watch me freak out at Vince McMahon for having The Undertaker lose to Roman Reigns. That's what's going to happen. I already have a Samsung phone, so maybe the government can already see me freaking out at the thought of this, but I want the government to get a full frontal picture of this, of me losing my mind if The Undertaker loses to Roman Reigns. But sadly, I think that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, he's beating Undertaker. It's
if he beats him, do it in a heel fashion and just flat out destroy him.
Now, we've said a win over The Undertaker should go to someone who can benefit from it, but like, again, what's the benefit
for Roman Reigns? If Roman Reigns is a heel, yes.
But if he's a face, no, not at all. Like, you're essentially wasting... A, an Undertaker match, and B, an Undertaker loss.
I mean, we already wasted his streak on Brock Lesnar, which just a couple of years later, he gets destroyed by Goldberg. Twice!
Well, I mean, technically once.
And in the Royal Rumble, but still.
He got eliminated.
All right. So those are the two main things going on Raw. The women's title match... I'm not truly excited for this yet, because I honestly believe that Charlotte, in the end, will regain the title at WrestleMania.
No, she won't.
I truly believe that's what's going to happen. Unless Sasha Banks turns heel against Bayley.
Oh, Sasha turns heel.
I think it writes itself, Mike. Sasha says, you had this title beat Charlotte twice because of me.
They've been booking Sasha in a way that they're going to turn her heel. Like,
I hope.
That's why like they had she had the frustrating losses. At Fastlane, she was supposed to grab the ropes to get extra leverage for the pin on Nia Jax to further her doing heel things to win matches. Like, they're definitely going with a trajectory of Sasha Banks turning heel.
So let's talk about SmackDown real quick. And what from SmackDown are we excited for?
I mean,
leading into WrestleMania. We're excited for everything SmackDown related going into WrestleMania. There's a lot of things to be excited about.
Well, yeah, the Orton Wyatt build has been great for like the months that they've been doing this whole story on the feud / teaming / feud again. The Miz has been putting out some of his better work.
The Miz is by far my MVP for Tuesday Night SmackDown because of what he's been doing recent weeks. The Miz has taken a complete 180, in my opinion. 2 years ago, I would have said, why? Why? Why bother with The Miz? Why is he still here? And why is he still being put in marquee matches? I'm done with The Miz. But now it's like, we need The Miz. We need The Miz to do this. And he has single-handedly made a intergender tag match for WrestleMania with John Cena and Nikki Bella. He has taken a match that I don't give a flying fuck about.
And made you care about it, at least a little bit.
Exactly. He made me care about this match. And with his talking smack promos as well. With his appearances on Talking Smack, he has gone on and say more comments about John Cena, about how Cena's perceived in the back and his character on TV. Here's a small snippet of what they were like on Talking Smack.
Stage and in the audience and just go, it's John Cena. He can do what he wants. Like during the draft, I mean, John Cena probably called you up and said, listen, Daniel Bryan, I'm probably not going to be around for 6 months, but listen, I want you to draft me to SmackDown Live, and I don't want to be number one. Make me like around number three, because number one, I'd have to be there every day, but I'm not going to be there because I'm going to be the part-timer that I am. So,
Jesus Christ. And even on SmackDown Live, not even Talking Smack, even on SmackDown Live, The Miz cut a nasty promo on John Cena. And at the end of that segment, Maryse even got on and pointed to her wedding ring and said, I have something Nikki Bella will never have.
Oof.
Things are getting very personal very quick.
I mean, I know it's storyline, but with the past issues those two have had, I could see like maybe 10% of Maryse being happy to have said that.
Oh, are you kidding me? They're the reason why people are tuning into SmackDown now. There's a lot of great things going on SmackDown, but I can't help but think that The Miz is the most important thing about SmackDown Live right now. He is my heavy hitter player for SmackDown Live.
AJ.
I don't know, man. As far as heels go, no one is making me love to hate them more than The Miz right now in WWE, in the whole company, possibly in all of wrestling.
AJ's been known to get a great match out of anybody.
I'm not talking in the ring. And I'm talking how to get me to watch and watch you on TV. We all know AJ Styles can have a great match with a fucking broomstick if he wanted to. But The Miz...
But he still like puts himself over in the way that is like that fits the feud that he's in, especially the feud with Cena, which I think Cena kind of feuding with him gives ammunition for the wrestlers that he's feuding with to go at him, and he lets them take the kind of shots to get their narrative over. But Styles has kind of embraced the heel role pretty well, and again, like, is a big reason people are watching SmackDown.
I agree, and AJ's obviously one of the reasons why many people watch SmackDown, but for The Miz is the most entertaining.
AJ gave SmackDown the credibility and legitimacy.
I'm not disagreeing with you on that,
but that opened the door for people to actually like be like, all right, well, what else is on here? Oh, cool, The Miz is now like healing it up pretty well. Like,
I will agree and disagree with that at the same time. I agree on you for saying that AJ is giving us great matches. He's a great person to back. He's motivating the other performers. Yes, I completely agree. He's giving legitimacy to the SmackDown brand. But I am not seeing Twitter blow up for AJ Styles as much as I'm seeing it blow up for The Miz right now. The Miz is the silent MVP for WWE right now. He is, for my money, the best heel in the company, along with Owens and... Oof, who else? Really? He's on Kevin Owens' level of being a heel.
I mean, listen, Kevin Owens made even the Smarks boo him.
And The Miz is getting people to boo him as well. While saying, okay, that's a really dope promo.
I'm always like, yes, he's had been doing great promo work, but I've always been skeptical of The Miz when it comes to getting heel heat. Because part of me is like, is it The Miz or is it people being sick of The Miz? Like, now it's probably 60-40 or 70-30.
Up until very recently, I was sick of The Miz. Now, I'm SmackDown... SmackDown will lose a lot of... what's the word I'm looking for? A huge chunk of the pie will be taken out if The Miz is gone from SmackDown. They'll find ways to fill it, but The Miz is making me want to watch SmackDown Live every week.
I mean, I know they'll keep him on there after the next coming draft. Like, I know they're moving a couple people around, but... I mean, honestly, I think if you take AJ off that show, it loses a lot of the glue.
So let's run down, before we get into our final topics of the night, the rest of the wrestle. Here is the WrestleMania card so far, at least confirmed matches. We have matches that we've talked about so far. Goldberg, Lesnar, looks like Taker, Reigns, Jericho and Owens, the Triple Threat women's Raw women's match. But let's focus on other matches that we haven't talked about yet. We have Alexa Bliss versus everyone on SmackDown. And my question to you, Mike, is name anyone other than Becky Lynch who should beat Alexa at WrestleMania.
If healthy, Naomi.
I see you took the words right out of my mouth there. Naomi should be the one that has the title, but unfortunately she is injured. That's why I think Mickie James. I think Mickie James gets at least one more WrestleMania moment for her career. I think... If it's not Naomi, and I want it to be Naomi, but if Naomi is not able to compete, and it's not Becky Lynch, I want Mickie James.
It's not going to be Mickie James, though, because Mickie James is kind of like the Dudleys were last year. A veteran who's there to put over the younger talent might get a couple wins here and there, but isn't going to get any championships during this run.
Could have a program with her and Alexa.
Yeah, I think they're setting that up
to
now.
Really put Alexa over as the girl on SmackDown, and I think that's what they're doing. I think her and Becky Lynch are going to be the two main women on SmackDown Live.
I think so too, because Nikki's retiring soon.
Because Becky Lynch doesn't need the big victory. Becky Lynch doesn't need it. No, Alexa Bliss, I think, needs a big victory, and if they do it right with the heel. Veteran champion and Mickie James, I think Alexa Bliss can have a great match with her, and Mickie James could put Alexa over the way a veteran should put a young person over and give her the title and make it worth more meaning. It's not a bad booking choice, and I don't think that's what's going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen that way.
But if I were fantasy booking this, that's how I would have it.
They're going to for once have the hometown person win it if she's healthy and able to do so. That's what I think, and they're going to give her the big win.
If she's healthy, yes.
Because, like, if she's healthy, because, you know, she needs the big win more than, because they've never really given her that chance. That's the way they'll probably go if she's healthy.
The next match on the card that is confirmed and that we haven't touched base on yet, Gallows and Anderson versus Enzo and Cass. My two questions to you, Mike, are, has Gallows and Anderson's run been wasted because of Raw's writing? And the way that they've been used on Raw. And, shocking question here, are you over Enzo and Cass?
I'm not so much, I mean, okay, to answer the two quickly, just to kind of, because there's a lot of matches on here and we have a debate. Enzo and Cass, I think, are still over with a lot of fans, but they're starting to wear thin on some. And I think it has to do with the fact that they're being booked in feuds where they're the good guys, but... They're essentially in the wrong. Like, they're the ones being the dicks.
It's starting to get old now, honestly. Like, I'm not going to say that Enzo and Cass don't have energy, because they do. And I'm not going to say that they don't electrify the crowd because they do. What I am saying is it's becoming par course now. It's becoming like, okay, here comes Enzo and Cass. Enzo's going to say something wacky, and Big Cat's going to say there's only one word to describe you. And I think it's just starting to get a little boring.
And he's going to spell it out to you, for you. But no, I honestly don't. I don't think overall that people are getting over them, but
obviously not because they're still getting cheered. But yeah, it's starting to be like, okay, we need something to happen with these guys soon.
Kind of like how people made fun of Bray Wyatt's promo style at one point for him just saying a lot
of similar
things.
At first, Bray Wyatt promos were cool. They were creepy. They were really awesome
then
to watch. And then
were,
it's just like, oh.
Then people were like, oh, the same stuff. Then it's kind of come back to being cool and creepy again.
So that's what they need to do with Enzo and Cass. We need a change there.
Yeah, I think give them.
And
give
the second question, Gallows and Anderson. We were so happy to see Gallows and Anderson on Monday Night Raw. We loved it. But now it's like, oh, what are they doing with Gallows and Anderson?
I mean, they've got the Raw tag team titles, so it's not all bad for them. Now it's better than it was when they were dressing up as doctors and doing the whole old fart thing.
That left a real bad sour taste in my mouth, and I don't think they recovered from that.
No. I mean, they may
need Raw's writing team really fucked them over on this one.
And a lot of other wrestlers, but definitely them on that one.
The next marquee matchup, the Andre the Giant, Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. A, do we care about this match? B, does WWE push the winner? And C, who wins this? We don't know the final card of WrestleMania yet, but when the final card's revealed and we do our WrestleMania prediction show, we'll maybe have a choice there, but
I mean, the
so
actual...
So far, I really can't put a finger on who I think wins.
Braun Strowman.
Not if... Okay.
Braun Strowman.
If Strowman isn't involved with Reigns and Taker and it's not a triple threat.
All right. Seriously, mark this down. It's... today is...
March 12th.
March 12th, 2017. Braun Strowman's winning the Battle Royal.
That's a very safe bet, and I don't think I have a smart enough argument to counter that. I don't think I have anyone else who I can think of that makes more sense than Braun Strowman.
He walked the hell out of there when Taker came to the ring. He's going to dominate.
But does that mean that he... blitzes one of them? We don't know. It could be end up being a triple threat. We don't know.
No,
but I think it makes more sense to have Taker Reigns, which now that I'm thinking about, yeah, it makes a lot more sense to have Strowman win the Battle Royal. I mean, he does want real competition. So how about all these other jobbers that we don't have that we don't have anything for?
Yeah.
Just destroy them all.
So
we want to end, first off, before we get to our final, topic of the night, other quick notes that we didn't talk about. Jake Roberts came out and says that WWE has watered down Bray Wyatt's character. Is he right? Yeah.
Not recently.
Not extremely recently, but overall, compared to where he first came from, maybe. I think I agree with this. But depending on how Wyatt handles WrestleMania, I might change my mind. But I agree with the snake on this. I think WWE has done some irreversible damage to Bray Wyatt's character. And it stems from, we just watched it before we did the show, WrestleMania 30. That high-profiled botch of a booking sent Bray Wyatt's character, persona, his reception by the fans on TV into a severe downward spiral. And only now is he starting to recover from that. So depending on how Wyatt handles WrestleMania and how that main event happens, I might retract my statement in agreeing with Jake Roberts on this. But so far, at this very second, yeah, I agree with him.
And now it's time for our debate. Let's get our points out.
Not to mention, the Hall of Fame class this year
is We'll save that for next week.
Two major returns. Hideo Itami and Finn Balor both returned at live events this past week. Yes. So they're due to be back on mainstream TV very soon.
While I still have energy, because I'm starting to crash and I'm just going to get out my argument for AJ.
It's past punchy sleeping time. So we've wanted to have this little discussion for a while. Who do we personally believe is the GOAT in pro wrestling? The greatest of all time, the top that will never be topped. Mike says AJ Styles. I say the Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels, even though my personal favorite, The Undertaker, is on my list of the GOATs.
Okay,
we're speaking in-ring work only. No promos. They could suck on promos, but who is the greatest in-ring worker of all time? Let's run down Styles' career. He debuted in 1998, won his first...
I'll make my argument so I can get that out quickly, and then you make yours, and then we'll wrap it up. So, Styles started his career in 98, was on WCW and was kind of like an up-and-comer there before the company closed its doors. Then he went to Ring of Honor, made a name for himself that got him signed to TNA based off of his in-ring work. One of the early stars of TNA that were in-house, especially with the X Division. Eventually started winning NWA title reigns, which is still a big deal for...
Three-time NWA champion, two-time TNA champion, one-time Ring of Honor Pure champion, and two-time IWGP yep. heavyweight champion.
And within his first year in the company was WWE champion. He is a guy who consistently puts on great matches. And I know Hammy's probably going to bring up the match of the year stats that Shawn Michaels had, but Shawn Michaels was getting a lot of his match in the year candidates in an era of bad wrestling, not like in the company. So it's easy for a lot of those matches to stick out. Whereas AJ Styles, especially the last couple years, is essentially competing with himself when it comes to match of the year candidates. He's standing out in one of the greatest eras of wrestling ability in wrestlers in such a long time. There's nobody who can be counted on to put a consistently great match to the point where they're stuffing him in a match with Shane McMahon because he's that good. Also, unlike Shawn Michaels, he was never a diva backstage. He just put on as great of a match as he could, and he would never willingly sabotage a match.
That is a fair argument. That is a strong argument. And he also won Wrestling Observer yep. Newsletter's Wrestler of the Year Award two times in a row in 2015 and 2016. I will counter with PWI statistics from HBK because PWI is the journalism source for all things pro wrestling. But HBK debuted in 1984, fired by WWF in 1987 as part of the Rockers, then quickly came back a couple of weeks later. Two-time AWA Tag Team Champion, NWA Tag Team Champion, three-time WWE Championship, and his last title reign, which I was in present at, Survivor Series 2002, when he won the World Heavyweight Championship from Triple H. Now, my PWI statistics. He was the Match of the Year winner from 1993 to 1996, and then again from 2004 to 2010, where that last year he was 45 years old. The man was in his early to mid-40s, and he was still putting on Match of the Year winners from Pro Wrestling Illustrated. He's a Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame class of 2017, which is very hard for a lot of wrestlers to get into because they don't let a lot of people in every year. And he's also a WWE Hall of Famer. But accolades and Hall of Fame careers aside, Pro Wrestling Illustrated gave him the feud of the decade from 2000 to 2010 with Chris Jericho. Two times he feuded with Jericho in that decade. And PWI gave him the match of the decade from 2000 to 2010 versus Ric Flair at WrestleMania 24. And you want to talk about matches? His match with Ric Flair was almost perfect storytelling. When he was a guest referee in Triple H versus Taker at WrestleMania 28, perfect storytelling. His match with Kurt Angle at WrestleMania 21, classic. His match versus Chris Jericho at WrestleMania 19, classic. His two matches against The Undertaker in his mid-40s, classics. You can make a greatest match of all time list and just put nothing but Shawn Michaels matches on there, and people will say, you know what? I like this list. It's very tough to argue with.
You
can
do the same thing with AJ Styles, though.
Name three marquee matches where you think the listeners should watch and where they should check out the best of Styles. Where do you think he shines the best in these three matches?
AJ versus Cena from Royal Rumble. AJ,
really?
Versus,
that's recent.
Yeah. Well, I mean, got.
I mean, it was great, but
The AJ
versus, I saw a match so recently.
That or SummerSlam. They're interchangeable. AJ versus Kurt Angle in his first match back with, like,
I'll give you that one. That was really that was pretty awesome.
And then AJ Styles versus Samoa Joe in TNA.
All right, and the three matches I would give.
Oh, actually, no, scratch that last one. AJ versus Nakamura, Wrestle Kingdom 9.
Okay, those are very fair choices. Those are very good choices. I would say my three, definitely WrestleMania 25 versus The Undertaker, which, again, he was in his mid-40s. And you just have to see it and be like, wow, this guy's in his mid-40s. He should not be able to do this. But he does. His match with Taker. His match with Taker again at Bad Blood 97 for the first Hell in a Cell match. Combination of perfect storytelling, amazing execution, the crazy bumps he takes. And overall, the match is one of my personal favorites of all time. The third Michaels match, you could toss up or switch between him versus Jericho at WrestleMania 19 or him versus Kurt Angle at WrestleMania 21. I would probably lean more towards Kurt Angle, even though he was a losing, even though he lost that match and tapped out to the ankle lock. He went and showed and worked with an Olympic gold medalist wrestler, and the two of them put on a match where you thought, hey, Shawn Michaels, I believe he can out-wrestle an Olympic champion. Even though he can't, he made you believe that he can do that. Even though he lost that match to me is why Shawn Michaels is known as Mr. WrestleMania, as the showstopper, as the heartbreak kid, and why he, to me, is the greatest of all time. No ifs, ands, or buts. AJ Styles, if I were to make a top three even, he would probably be my number two or three. But we're not disagreeing I'm not disagreeing that AJ Styles is one of the best ever, and I'm sure Mike wouldn't disagree that Shawn Michaels is one of the best ever. But we leave it to you guys. Who is, in your opinion, the two? Who out of these two is the greatest of all time? Well, we want to know.
So we'll make a poll of it on Twitter. So when you guys see it, vote for it
and tweet us at CapCrusherPod. But until then, I think, you know what? Just to give a little bit more reason as to why, Shawn Michaels' entrance music, so much better because he sings it himself. Who else sings their own entrance music?
Tyler Breeze.
But Tyler Breeze is not Shawn Michaels. All right, guys. Thank you so much for watching and listening. We shall see you next time. This is Calf Crusher Radio. Have a wonderful night.